Amy Minnelli is a wonderful member of this community. She volunteers at Ecker and the high school and soccer teams. She's the mother of two incredible girls, and she and her husband love to ski. She actually teaches skiing at Deer Valley. And she has polycystic kidney disease and has been looking for a donor for the past year or so. And I wanted her to come in and share her journey with us and tell us a little bit more about what this is like to look for a live kidney donor and maybe see if you can help. Please welcome Amy Minnelli.
So we moved here in 2021, and my husband and I, before we were married, used to come out and ski here for usually about 10 days a year. Ended up actually getting married at Deer Valley 16 years ago. Utah's always been a very special place for us. I've been teaching skiing at Deer Valley now for the last 4 years.
Do you teach like the kiddos or do you teach adults?
I teach kids. I teach adults, mostly beginners and intermediates. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of fun to share that love and passion with other people that are learning.
One day I was home, I get an email from you and saying that you are like you went wide with this email.
I did.
Okay, so let's just get into what the email was at the time and what's going on for you. So
I've known since I was in probably my late teens that I have something called polycystic kidney disease. It's actually a genetic condition and something that I inherited from my father. And the way I found out is when I was a senior in high school, my father actually had kidney failure and went on dialysis and was looking for a donor. And at the time, I was a very good match for him. So they did an ultrasound and saw that I had kind of the same thing that had caused his kidney failure. I knew probably that this day would be coming at some point, but really with the way the disease works is over time you have cysts form on your kidneys and it slowly kind of impacts the function. Mm-hmm. So I had very normal kidney function until I was probably in my mid-30s, and it's kind of been declining since then. And so I found out in October of 2024, my function got to the point where I would be eligible for a transplant. I started kind of exploring that process. I met with a transplant center and that team. Everyone that I've talked to that's kind of been through this, has been looking for a donor, have told me that, you know, you need to kind of cast a wide net because you just never know where that donor is going to come from. And there's many people that go through this process and they get on a deceased donor list too. But most of my doctors felt that given my age, because I'm younger and I'm really relatively healthy otherwise, that the best kind of long-term result for me would be for me to find a living donor. I decided, and this was very difficult for me because I'm not the type of person that likes to ask for help. So it was really hard for me. Yeah. So it was really hard for me to kind of put that. I basically put together an email that said, look, this is what's going on. I'm at a point in my life where I'm going to need a transplant and I need to find a living donor and I need, you know, you as my kind of network of friends and family to help me get the word out and help me try to find someone that's going to be a good match for me. So that was basically my email that kind of went out to pretty much anyone I had an email address for, whether I knew them that well or not. I sent that out and that was a really hard thing for me. I mean, I did lots of drafts and my husband helped me with it. The outpouring of support was pretty amazing. You know, I think people wanted to try to help in whatever way they could. And I just wasn't sure how it was going to be received. But right away, I felt really supported, which was a good feeling. And then I also put together like a Facebook message that was similar to that I put out.
What's the process been like since then? And I know you've been going to Chicago and seeing your doctor.
Yeah. So I'm originally from Chicago. So my nephrologist who actually specializes in polycystic kidney disease, what I have, I've been seeing her for over 10 years. Initially, when I went through the transplant process, I did it. She's at University of Chicago. So I went through the evaluation with their center there. But obviously I live here. And so you know, I wanted to talk to, and there's some very good transplant centers here in Utah also. So I've talked to some of the centers here. I've also gone through the process at Mayo Clinic up in Rochester. They have some expertise in polycystic kidney disease. So the third most common reason for a kidney transplant is polycystic kidney disease. My understanding is I think there's usually about 25,000 kidney transplants done a year in the U.S. So quite a number. What I've been told a lot of from the high volume centers, usually polycystic kidney disease is the third reason.
Okay. Did your father know that he had this?
He kind of knew he had it, but he wasn't very proactive. And that was a big regret that he had. When he found out that I had it, he always was very encouraging of me to be proactive with my health. You know, you need to get your blood work done every year. You need to be seeing a nephrologist. You need to be trying to do all these things proactively because it's going to help you kind of long term. And so thankfully, I've been doing that. And I have this fantastic doctor. And so there's not a cure or any. There's a treatment that came out in 2018 that I've been on that doesn't really cure. It's supposed to kind of slow the progression. I don't know if it's really helped me that much. I've been trying to just do as much as I can proactively with my diet, with some medications and things like that to kind of slow the progression. And unfortunately, the form of polycystic kidney disease that runs in my family is a very aggressive form. So it tends to impact people younger in life. So I'm 46 years old and I'm nearing end-stage renal disease, which is pretty young to be experiencing that.
Where are we with finding somebody?
Yeah, so I've had a huge response, which has also been a really great feeling. I know initially when people get screened to be a donor, most of the centers have like a form that you fill out, and that kind of initially can evaluate whether you're going to be a good candidate or not. So I know there's probably many people that have done that I don't even know about, because it's a pretty confidential process. But I know a lot of people have told me they filled it out and just, you know, got rejected at that point for various reasons, whether they have kidney cancer in their families or they've had other, you know, health things that they're dealing with. Or that was kind of the first step. Then they do some initial blood work to see kind of if you're a match. So then they go through blood work. And then if that seems to be a good match, then they can do additional testing, just making sure they're in tip top shape. They're testing their kidney function. They're making sure their heart is good because they're going to be undergoing surgery. I do have a few people that are approved to donate right now. The problem is they're a match for me, but they're not the best match for me. So they look at antigens in your blood. They look at these antibodies. To simplify it, there's maybe like three different kind of categories. There's like not so great of a match, like a good match, and like a really good match kind of thing. So I think they kind of want me to be at least in the middle of that, if possible. And the ones I have are really not very good right now.
Like based on the antibodies, antigens, all that.
Yes. And there's also, like, for example, there's a virus that I have or that I'm negative for that's very common. And most people, by the time they're in their 40, 85% of people have had this virus. And for some reason, I've never had it. And so that's really tricky. I can't really get a kidney from someone that's had that because I'd have to be in really strong antivirals. And then eventually I'm going to get sick. And for someone that's immunosuppressed, it could be fatal. So it's called CMV. It's kind of like mono. It's a very common virus that most people have gotten at one point in their life, probably in college, you know.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I never got it. So, but two of my approved donors are positive for that. So they're not really great for me. And then I have a few people that are still in process. I have someone who actually went through it last week. I only know because it's a close friend of mine, and they are concerned that, you know, her kidney function's really good, but not, you know, they want it to be excellent because they don't want that donor to be at risk at any point in their life, you know, after they give up one of their kidneys to be needing both of them. You really only need one. The doctors only want to take a kidney from someone who's extremely healthy and has really good kidney function. And so there's a lot of criteria. So it's actually that not only do they have to be a really good match, they have to be super healthy and all these other things too. What the doctors, I think, want to do if these last few people really aren't going to be as kind of good as what they're looking for, there's a National Kidney Registry. So if, like, I can take one of my donors that's approved and we can go into this registry together and they can donate to somebody and then they can try to find me someone that's willing to donate to me that's a better match. So you kind of do, they call it a paired exchange or like a swap.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. How long is the process and how fast do you need to go at this moment? Someone calls you and says, I would love to try to do this.
Yeah, I mean, it can take a while. It can take at least a few months. I'm really honored because there are so many people that have gone through this just to try to help me, which is pretty amazing.
It is.
On their own.
So you have both your kidneys are compromised and one isn't better than the other?
Not really. No, both in pretty bad shape, unfortunately. In fact, I'm still trying to work through this because the surgeons have different perspectives, but I may actually have both of mine removed because they're so large, may cause me some potential issues long term. And they're really not functioning very much at all anymore. I mean, they're functioning a little bit now. I'm not on dialysis, but I'm kind of nearing that. So I'm trying to get things kind of in line so that I can have my transplant before I need to do that. Because the best kind of long-term outcomes are if I can find a live donor that's a good match, and if I can avoid dialysis, that's kind of from all the studies that those people have the best kind of long-term outcomes. And they can have a living donor kidney typically can last 15 to 20 plus years. Where, like, if you were to get a deceased donor, like, the average is maybe 10 years.
So why would the kidney, maybe that might have been just fine where it stayed for however long, get taken out, put in, and then not be 40 years more.
Well, I mean, there's the immunosuppressant drugs. You know, you're on steroids a little bit. Sometimes they don't get the medications right and your body can reject. I think the good news is, I think about my dad actually had two transplants. My uncle had two transplants. Like the technology since they went through this, you know, 20 plus years ago has really evolved and has gotten a lot better. And I think they're getting better and the rejection rates are down a lot from that. The doctors seem to have a better handle on that. You know, they're basically taking it out of the one person and putting it in you. That's kind of why the doctors are really hoping that I can go that path.
Well, how are you feeling? How do you feel day to day?
I'm doing okay. I feel like the last 3 to 6 months, I've been deteriorating more quickly than I would have liked. And that's why there's a little more urgency with me kind of figuring out with my donors and figuring out my surgery. I'm pretty lucky to an extent that my biggest issue is fatigue. It's hard for me to get through a day. And I sleep a lot at night. And then I usually have to sleep a little during the day just to be able to function. I'm a really active person. I have an active family. And so that's my biggest challenge right now is just trying to function and get all the things done I want to do. And I've just had to learn I need to ask for help, which is, it's hard for me. But I also know that long term, once I do have my transplant, hopefully I'll be able to feel better at some point, like be able to have that energy again and be able to do the things that I like to do and take on all the tasks and volunteer work and all the things that I do.
Very, very involved person and really good and very organized. And
Thank you. I try.
You're like extra human. I don't understand. But
I like to be involved. I like to be busy. So yeah, it's been hard for me, especially the last few months when I just haven't been feeling well.
And are you in pain at all or uncomfortable?
Thankfully, I don't have a lot of pain. I mean, my biggest issue is my kidneys are really large. So they're probably 7-8 pounds each. And I'm a smaller person. And so because they have so many cysts. So like, but like your normal kidney is like a size of like your fist. Mine are like 9 to 10 inches long, pretty much take up my whole abdominal area. So I have like, I deal with fullness quite a bit because there's no space for any, like if I eat a little bit or I drink water, like there's no space for any where to go in my abdomen area. Everything's just really compressed. I love to eat, so I can still eat. I just have to wear stretchy pants a lot of days. It's kind of a little bit like being pregnant. Like I just have these huge kidneys in me.
Oh, Amy, my goodness gracious. Yeah. Well, I know this is going to work out and I know you're going to find the perfect donor. This, you know, it's, you know, you walk through life and go to this town and everyone's doing their thing. And, you know, it's a reminder that people are going through a lot in some way or form or fashion. But you really are one of those people that is, you just always have this amazing way about you and it's grace and all that. I'm just in awe of your strength.
Thanks for that. I try to be positive and I'm pretty confident that things are going to work out. I mean, I feel very lucky. There's a lot of people that are in a similar situation to me that don't have the support, don't have the resources. I mean, the one thing I would encourage people is to look into organ donation and, you know, see if there's some way you can help. I mean, it's something where you can just be an organ donor on your driver's license if something were to happen to you. You know, there are people that just donate anonymously to people as well. They don't even know somebody yet, so that just feel a calling. There was one person that I came across in this process that she was high school friends with someone that I knew actually, but she was just planning to donate to someone and she ended up not being a match for me.
You know, people are good. You know, they want to help. And
it's pretty incredible.
Like the end result is that you're still looking for a donor and you.
Yes, it's not finalized. Yeah, they could go through the initial process. I'm kind of running out of time a little bit. I need to kind of find a donor. I mean, most likely I'll need my transplant within a year. I think it could easily be within 6 to 9 months. You know, I try to put on a good face, but people that are close to me that even my doctor who was been very positive at kind of taking my time and figuring this out. When I saw her in February, she was like, I noticed a decline in you definitely in the last few years. And, you know, I feel like it's starting to impact your quality of life. And so I think if you can find a good match, like you just need to do it.
Well, this has just been a very moving and informative conversation, Amy. Thank you so much. And if you want to reach out to Amy, please go to our website. I will include her email address and more information on organ donation. Thank you so much, Amy.
I'll keep you posted.
This is Andrea Buchanan with KPCW's Community Campfire.